Everybody, listen up. I'm your host, and my name is Isaac, and today we're gonna be talking that trash. We're gonna be hitting the hot goss on your favorite celebrities. Yes, celebrity ether time. TMZ Illuminate confirm. Who are we gonna talk about today? Well, Britney Spears. Yeah. Converse with the satanic shoes. I don't know if you've seen that. We're gonna talk about it. Lil Uzi Vert. Lucifer. Get it? Post Malone. No, not Post Malone. We all love Post Malone, don't we? He's my twin brother. From a richer mother. I don't know. Does that make sense? Young Dolph. Lil Nas X back at it again. And Jack Harlow. You know what I'm saying? And look, it's not lost on me that I have a very similar look to Post Malone and Jack Harlow. But I'm here. You know what? Like, I don't care anymore. I'm talking about all these celebs. I don't care anymore. Calling them out. I was on Tinfoil Hat for my 10th appearance. And I say that not to be braggadocious. I'm humbled. I'm grateful to the good Lord above who gave me the strength to have a good discussion. We had a great discussion on Tinfoil Hat. My man, Alex Kazami. Shout out Alex Kazami. He wrote a book called Pop Magic. He's an occultist, right? He's into playing all this magic stuff. And my role there was to represent the Christian warrior, which I doubt I am. One, I am a Christian, although I always tell you I'm not a good one. Don't look to me for that kind of advice. I am a degenerate. I could never run for office because you would find out all the nasty, dirty little secrets about me and you'd be very disappointed. So that's why I never like put on that hat, but I did for the first time ever. And we had a great talk about the pros and cons of magic and magical thinking. And we talked about Marilyn Manson. And we talked about Mormons with the Book of Mormon getting ripped up. And oh dear, did it go back and forth. So if you haven't heard that, highly advise you listen to that. We also today will have a Wally Tier 4 Conspiracy Considerations. Wally's going to bring the heat. And we're going to talk about some wild stuff with him. And then I will do the shout outs because, well, quite frankly, I appreciate my supporters. No matter how that supporter looks, no matter what tier, no matter if they're on the free feed, if they're a free feeder, appreciate you guys. Now, without further ado, let's talk about Britney Spears. You know, and this is another one of those deals. It's like when I was on Tinfoil talking about to Alex about Madonna, because Madonna was promoting Alex's book. Alex's book. And I said, you know what? Like, Madonna's Illuminate confirm. I'm sorry. I love Madonna. I would argue all day and all night, Madonna is 10 times better and has more impact than Michael Jackson could ever dream of. Come at me, bro. I love Madonna. Can't help it. She made some great music. I mean, she's still making good music. I mean, look, you know what I'm saying. I don't condone her actions or her symbolism or the messages. Not all of them. Some of them are good. You know, I grew up in the 80s. Madonna was like, all the women wanted to be Madonna and all the fellas wanted to be with Madonna. She did a lot for whatever. For the 80s pop culture movement. And but I had to talk, I had to trash her. I had to. I'm just calling it as I see it. There's no judgment attached to any of these comments I'm making. There really isn't. I'm just here to talk to you about what I see, the symbolism behind it, and you can come to that conclusion on your own. And while I say all that to say this, I love Britney Spears. I want free Britney, right? All day, all night. We had Jason Alexander come back on the show. Her husband for 55 hours, right? Remember that? Down in Las Vegas, and her family made him annul the marriage because they control her life. Jason's been telling you this for 20 years. So conspiracy truthers have been telling you this for 20 years. Britney's controlled. And now the world's finally caught on and, you know, free Britney all day, all night. Now, here's the problem. I'm concerned because Britney posted on the Instagram this whole thing about the bathtub. And if you followed me for a long time, as I'm sure you have, you already know where we're going with this. But let me read to you what she said on Instagram. And then we'll you know, you come to your own conclusion. This is what she wrote. Her words, not mine. Quote, at 2 a.m., I decided to take a bath. I got a new scented lotion from Victoria's Secret, and I wanted to wear it because it helps me sleep better. I went to the bathroom, looked at my leftover coffee from earlier in the morning and said, gross, but didn't throw it away. And then I looked for my face wash, but couldn't find it anywhere. I was caught up in my head, looking for it for about 15 minutes, then realized it's probably in the other bathroom. Then I went to leave, and the door was locked. I thought, okay, well, it's a bathroom. I can open the damn door. No, the lock was stuck. I got locked in the effing bathroom, and my boyfriend was sleeping. Even if there are earthquakes, he doesn't wake up. Damn it, Sam, what's wrong with you? Wake up. I screamed, hey, come open this stupid door. Silence. The fourth time he gets up and says, what's wrong? I said, I'm in here, and I can't get out. He tried to do his thing to open the door with a pen, so I got my phone and called security to tell him to open the door. 15 minutes went by, and they finally said they'd send someone up to open the door. 10 minutes later, hello, is anybody there? Then they told me 10 more minutes. I cleaned the bathroom. Oh, good on her. Why not? You know what? I like that. And this is what drives me nuts. You know what? They want a conservatorship. Oh, Britney can't handle herself. Look how smart she is. That's a hard-working woman. She's locked in the bathroom at 2 in the morning, and she's like, you know what? Let's make some lemonades out of these lemons. She cleaned the bathroom. She said, I cleaned the bathroom and thought about taking a shower or something, but then I saw it, the door. I just looked at it for the first time with a yearning of just wanting it to open. Would my eyes trick me and make it happen faster? My eyes widened and the door was more clear, more vast. I could see it with clarity and brightness. Please open door. We're here, they said. I asked how long it would take to open and they said, oh, maybe 10 minutes. The old coffee I had left over from the morning was there. I started feeling foggy, so I drank it. I was re-energized and started speaking again. Are you guys there? Yes, we are, they said. Stand back. We're going to open the door. It opened. It finally opened. And then if you look through the comments like a nosy bastard that I am, Sam said, you forgot to mention the part where I kicked the door in. I don't know. Is this story real? Did this happen? Doesn't matter. Look at the symbolism of what she said. It's 2 a.m. I mean, that's pretty close to 3 a.m., right? If it was 3 a.m. on the nose, I would be really freaked out by this whole story. But she said it's 2 a.m. near the witching hour, the inverted time of the 3 a.m., right? And she said she's taking a bath. Now, I did a whole show on Madonna and the Illuminati bath, talking about the occult symbolism behind the bathtub. And the shortest path through this idea is there is, in witchcraft, the idea of a cleansing ritual done in the bathtub for the goddess before passing over to the other side. And some would argue that Whitney Houston was killed in a bathtub. The sacrifice of the goddess, which was very odd. But then just a couple years later, when her daughter, Bobby Christina, died in the bathtub, it made it doubly odd. Triply odd, I would argue. That they're sacrificing these goddesses, these divas. Because, you know, Whitney Houston, I believe, was the one that the first time they used the term diva to describe a female singer. Diva, going back to the idea of the Devayana, the Hindu goddess. So doesn't it make sense? They would do the sacrifice in the bathtub. Then, should my dear listener doubt, the You look to a in Jewish tradition, they participate in what they call a mikvah. It's a clean. It's a for purity of the soul before passing over. Then you've also got, I mean, Jim Morrison died in a bathtub, right? And you know, Jim Morrison has all kinds of ties into the conspiracy world. His dad was on the ship that was in the Gulf of Tonkin. That was the false flag for the Vietnam War. Holly Madison, the Playboy bunny. She thought she was going to drown in the bathtub. Lady Gaga gave us a lot of symbolism of being in the bathtub. Tons of symbolism of the bathtub. Because she is the goddess as well. And then, of course, Britney Spears herself. She had a video for every time where she's in the bathtub and she's got blood on her head, blood on her hands. She's looking at the blood. She says, "What's happening?" And oh, by the way, she's wearing a Kabbalistic red string bracelet. All of these occult ideas fitting together. You know, and Britney Spears, of course, she's tied into Madonna. They had the big three-way kiss on the VMAs, which was a real shocking act back when it happened. And it goes on and on and on. They're all connected, all of them. Because remember, Madonna came out wearing that Freemasonic top hat? Yeah. So anyway, oh, and then I forgot one of the biggest ones. Kim Kardashian. She got thrown in that bathtub, and it made Kanye lose his damn mind. That's when he went on his St. Pablo rant. We talked about this on the tinfoil hat appearance I made with Alex Kazemi. You think Kanye went crazy because someone tried to rob Kim Kardashian? Or do you think he went crazy because he knows the occult forces, the dark forces that are involved in the entertainment industry, and they're threatening him? So let's bring it back to Britney Spears. Is this a cry for help? Is this some analogy? Is this some metaphor with the bathtub? I don't know. Look, you could call me crazy. Call me the crazy conspiracy guy on this one, because I mean, that's a stretch, right? She's just telling a story about how she got locked in the bathroom. But I'm telling you, with all this weird symbolism of the bathtub, this is going in the back of my mind. And heaven forbid, God forbid, anything happen to Britney. But, like, she's ruffling feathers right now. Right? Right or wrong? Right or wrong, she's ruffling feathers. And we don't know where this might end up. There's lots of money involved. There's lots of weirdos in Hollywood. And she's trying to get independence. She's trying to get her freedom. So, we'll see. That's all I'm going to say. And, you know, I hope I'm absolutely wrong on all of this. I don't wish any of that to be true. I'm just saying they've done it before and they'll do it again, right? Moving on. Lil Uzi Vert. You know him. He's the rapper that jammed a big old pink rock in his forehead. And he is splashing the news. He must have a new album coming out. I don't know. But he was having a conversation with Grimes, Elon Musk's BM. And they were talking. And previously, they had exchanged these talks about the Neuralink, because they're both into Neuralink, right? Lil Uzi Vert wants to get his brain cap, Elon Musk brain cap, plugged in so he can stay connected to the internet forever, which is, you know, ultimately the goal, the transhumanism goal, the perfected society, immortality. The utopia fantasy that the technocrats want to bring about so bad. Well, anyway, he had a talk with Grimes. And they basically confirmed he's trying to buy a planet. Which is curious, because you can't buy a planet, right? We know that. You can look that up. I did a little research on it. You cannot buy a planet. There's some, ironically, like UN outer space law that says every country has equal opportunity access to every planet, which is ironic given the moon with all the drama that unfolded there. How America, we said we went to the moon and, you know, probably didn't. But yeah, and then the Soviets, they were doing great. They were kicking our butt for a while there in the space race, and then they just gave up. I don't know. Even though we had 30 more years of the Cold War, I guess they didn't want to take the time to flex on us, so they gave up on the trip to the moon. Come on, you know we didn't go to the moon. So anyway, so homeboy wants to buy a planet. Now listen to this. This is where it gets a little weird. The planet is called WASP-127b, which only becomes curious when you hear the next bit of hot goss. Because Jade, shout out Jade on my Patreon team, come through and said that Lil Uzi Vert has the necklace of the Fleur-de-Lis. And I tried to find that. I couldn't confirm that. I'm taking Jade's word for it. I trust Jade. What I did see, he also had, like, he's got, like, these iced out inverted crosses, which is no surprise. I did a whole analysis on Lil Uzi Vert. You know what? Maybe I need to give it the podcast treatment because it was a post on my website until I had to take all the posts down. Thank you very much to the people suing me for the stuff I had on my website. That's pretty awesome of you. Appreciate it. So I had to take it all down. Because you know what? That's what it's all about. They're trying to censor me and push me in a corner. And you know what happens when you put me in a corner? No one puts baby in a corner because I'll be swinging. I'll be throwing bows. You better watch out. Now, what was I talking about before I started puffing myself up here? Oh, yeah. Lil Uzi Vert. Yeah, so he's like clearly into Satanism. He's obsessed with Marilyn Manson. There's another, let me throw another reference back to the tinfoil hat conversation I had with Alex Kazemi. We talked a lot about Marilyn Manson on that. He is also, the name he chose is a play on the word Lucifer, right? Say Lil Uzi Vert fast and you hear Lucifer. And there's this, in some ways, people argue that these names of the infernal demons that I've had someone get mad at me on my Patreon team. They said, you got to quit saying the names. You're calling upon them. You're giving them energy. And I don't disagree with that. That's probably right. But like, I don't know how else to like have this conversation with you. So whatever. So I'm thinking Lil Uzi Vert, maybe there's a power play there where he's like, look, if we just keep, everyone says my name, if it gets trending on the news, it brings a lot of energy to that Luciferian force. Maybe, right? Maybe. But he's got a necklace with the Fleur-de-Lis. Now, why would he have it? Here's a guy from Philly. He's not from New Orleans or something. I know why. And you do too. Because you read my very first book, A Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory, back in like 2012, 2013, I wrote it. And I have a whole section, chapter 5, talking about bees and the symbolism of the bee and how it relates to the power structures, because bees are a symbol of magic. Okay. And if you haven't read that book, I've got a smoking deal on IlluminatiWatcher.com. 4 books, $5. How do you beat that? You can't. I'm giving you 4 books for $5. My God. I will never financially recover from this. Link in the show notes, as always. Now, listen. I'm gonna make this even easier. I'm gonna read it to you. That way you don't even have to play the $5. See how much I like you? Like you a lot. Okay, let's read here. Okay, we're talking about the Merovingian dynasty, which is like the foundation of France, right? Okay. The Merovingian dynasty came about in the late 5th century and persisted until the 8th century. They dominated much of the region around France, as the name of the Merovingian Franks blatantly shows us. The Merovingian Franks worshipped pagan deities and used the bee as one of their symbolic rituals. Frank King Childeric I was buried in a cloth that was adorned with bees. The Franks also used a weapon called an angon, translated as sting, with a bee-like spearhead. The symbol of the Fleur-de-Lis is a depiction based on the, man, I lost my place here, the argon, angon? Wait a minute, where am I here? The angon, sorry. Man, I think I have a misspelling on my first book. My God, how embarrassing. Right on air, I just found it. Shit. The symbol of the fleur-de-lis is a depiction based on the argon, therefore derived from the bee. The fleur-de-lis lily symbol is shown all over France, America, and Canada in coats of arms and flags. The fleur-de-lis is also depicted behind the image of the Baphomet devil, with this symbol above its head. Because again, Little Uzi Vert is a Satanist. And the Satanism ties into the Baphomet, of course. And the fleur-de-lis is on the Baphomet, and the fleur-de-lis ties into the bee. And that's the argument conspiracy people have been putting out for a long time, and I subscribe to that argument. That all this stuff, all this occult stuff, leads ultimately to Luciferian forces. I mean, there's so many connections, it's hard to disprove it. In fact, we talked about the bees back in, I believe it was 2017 or 2018. I had just started my Patreon, and we did three episodes on Marjorie Cameron that I believe they might have been exclusive, or the second half was only on Patreon. I don't remember. Anyways, it was three episodes only devoted to Marjorie Cameron. It was a deep dive. And her great-grand... And you know who she was, right? Jack Parsons, the guy who founded JPL, the predecessor to NASA. He was into Crowley's Thelema, worshipped the devil, and he did this ritual to summon the Whore of Babylon, and it brought Marjorie Cameron into his life, who was supposed to be the the harbinger of death. So anyhow, she has a very interesting story, that hence the three episodes. But her great-grandfather was a beekeeper, and he taught her that bees were carriers of magic, because honey was considered a divine product of the gods. That's why, like in the Greek culture, they say the baklava is the dessert of the gods, because of the honey. Now, was honey really the thing they were obsessed with? No. It was an analogy for the true fruit of the gods, which was knowledge, because they're always after the knowledge. And who gives the knowledge but Lucifer or Prometheus or whatever, however you want to dress this up. This is the gnosis. That's where in Gnosticism, gnosis means wisdom in Greek. Okay? So when you see all these Freemasons and secret societies going on and on about wisdom and knowledge and all this stuff, it's because it's the forbidden knowledge, the forbidden wisdom, the secrets of magic, the secrets of alchemy. And I live in Utah, and boy, oh boy, do they love the bees. They have no clue. They have no clue what's going on. The state flag has the seal of Utah, and what is it? It's a big old beehive. The state insect, it's a bee. The baseball team is the Salt Lake Bees. In the Book of Mormon, the one that Marilyn Manson ripped up when he was in Utah, because Marilyn Manson doesn't even know his own belief system, by the way, which, again, listen to the tinfoil hat and you'll hear me talk about it. Because like Marilyn Manson is like, oh, is this your God? He rips the Book of Mormon up. Yeah, dude, like, you know what? Joseph Smith was channeling entities and doing magic too, just like you, homeboy. He's on the same team. You know what? Marilyn Manson should just go ahead and become Mormon. Do a little 2-year mission. Who's that an insult against? Manson or the Mormons? I don't know. I love the Mormons. They're fine. They're good people. Now, here I gotta walk that back. You know, my best friend's Mormon. I live with what's the percentage of Mormons here? Like 80%? 70%? Gotta be careful. Well, that Mormon mafia after me. But anyways, in the Book of Mormon, before Manson ripped it up, it has the term Deseret in it. And Deseret is just another term for bee. And when you're in Utah, you know, you've heard this term a million times. The Deseret News is like the biggest newspaper. There's the Deseret Bookstore. that sells all the LDS books. There's Deseret Industries. I mean, it's all about the B. Because the roots of Mormonism are obviously from Joseph Smith, who was very much influenced by the Freemasons. And Freemasonry, the lodges are referred to as hives. And if they have a dispute, they call it a swarm. And in Utah, the NSA is collecting all your data, including this very conversation, in the world's most massive data storage, surveillance, dystopian, nightmare data center called the Bumble Hive. That's in Utah, right? Tell me it's not all connected. Tell me I'm crazy. And should you still have any doubts, dear listener, Adam Weishaupt himself, the founder of the Bavarian Illuminati back in 1776, well, originally, the group was called the Perfectibalists. But he was like, that's a whack-ass name. I'm going to call it, guess what he, I should have set this up better. Guess what he called it instead of the Perfectibalists, he's like, I need a better name. And he named it the B Club. Because again, all these secret societies and occultists, they know what's up. But, you know, B Club was still too basic, so he went with Illuminati. And there you go. You getting it all now? Does it all make sense? Hi, everybody. This is your host, Isaac. And we have a special edition of the show where we do conspiracy considerations. Yes, you know what it is. It's the part of the show where you get up on the stage. This is the tier 4 level of Patreon or the VIP section. And today we are joined by returning champ Wally Gorbachev. This is his third appearance. And he's going to share with us some biblical prophecy about a conversation between the angel Gabriel to Daniel. And basically they prophesied the future about the Messiah. And weirder yet, we'll get into some ideas about Mars running around with Earth. Oh my goodness. Mars had two moons, and the guy who wrote Gulliver's Travels knew all about it. Oh, and basically the apocalypse is coming. Yeah, I know, right? Wally never disappoints. So let's take a listen. If for bonus points, you get to hear my rendition of a childhood, what do you call it, Bible hymn that I recalled from years of singing it as a child. So there's that too. All right, let's get into it. Wally, what's going on, man?
Really happy to be here. It's always a pleasure to be on this show.
Number three, right? Is this the third one?
This is number three, and hey, you're number three too.
You're getting real good at this.
Oh, I appreciate that.
You're gonna have to start your own podcast full of ideas here soon.
We'll see what happens.
All right, man. Let's. So, you alluded to some interesting ideas of what you wanted to talk about today. Something about Mars and, of course, you know, biblical prophecy, which seems to be kind of your research sort of genre. What do you got for me?
It is one of my favorite topics. And I got to tell you, I am a student of Chuck Missler. Dr. Chuck Missler, he was one of the best teachers. And this presentation, I guess you might be able to call it, comes from his Daniel 9 teaching, and you can find that on YouTube if anyone wants to check it out. And this is about a conversation between the angel Gabriel to Daniel about what is going to happen in the future. And I think it is a really cool thing to get into. Okay. There's this idea. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Yeah. That does sound interesting.
Yeah. So, Daniel 9, Daniel 9:24 talks about the scope of this, and Daniel 9:25 talks about 69 weeks that are determined for the people of the holy city, so the Jewish people. And it is really interesting because It's a mathematical prophecy. There is a trigger and there is a target. So Gabriel tells Daniel that at this point, Israel does not exist. It's been destroyed. So Gabriel tells Daniel that the commandment to restore Jerusalem up until the Messiah, the king, presents himself as such, as the king, is going to be 69 weeks. However, 69 weeks in Jewish terms, they have a very specific word. It actually means 69 times 7 years. If I were to say, hey, I can't be on this podcast for another decade, we would assume in our terms, we're talking about 10 years. But if you come from a Jewish background, you could have weeks of months, you can have weeks of years, and these are specifically weeks of years. So that's 483 years until the commandment to restore Jerusalem to the Messiah, the king. Well, I mean, here everyone probably wants to know, well, is that prophecy true? And I say yes, and it's so interesting to get into because we start talking about Mars and the effect of the gravitational pull on the Earth.
Are you saying, let me pause for 1 second here. Are you saying that are we at that moment that the 483 years has gone by right now? Or are you saying in the future, or where are we at on the timeline here?
So in 32 AD, Jesus Christ presented himself. It's called the triumphal entry, when he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey and people worshiped him and they sung the psalm, "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." So it's exactly...
I know that song. That's one of my childhood... I still remember all my childhood... What do you call it? Like the little songs you
sing.
Yeah, hymns. "This is the day that the Lord has made." Right? You know
that. Oh, yeah.
Anyways, so they're saying...
That one's a crowd pleaser in church on Sunday.
A crowd pleaser, indeed. You're saying 483 years from the moment that Christ came into Jerusalem in 32 AD?
Yes. So there's four things that you could look to in the Bible that talk about a commandment to rebuild Jerusalem. Three of them are temple specific, just to rebuild the temple. None of those really work out. Only when Artaxerxes decrees that, and the Bible actually gets into this, it says, Gabriel says to Daniel, there's going to be someone that is going to decree that Israel is built as a complete city with the walls and the streets. And that is the first time, actually, we see that in the book of Nehemiah. That's when that decree happens. So, until Jesus presents himself as the Messiah.
Okay, so how's this tie into Mars then? Sorry, I didn't want to take you off track there.
No, you're good. So, the Bible, all the way from Genesis to Revelation, when they talk about years in the Bible, they're 360-day years. Mm-hmm. Well, why is that the case? Well, there's some interesting evidence that there was a change in calendars and they had to add more days to the calendar. At around 701 BC, the Chinese calendar changed from 360 days to 365, and all the calendars you had all across the world, it's actually interesting. So why did they have to change the calendars? And that's where we get into Mars. So this has all been modeled out in computer simulations, and there are some very intelligent scientists that are trying to figure out if Earth and Mars were on resonant orbits around the sun. So sometimes Earth would get a little speed from Mars if it was following it, and sometimes Mars would gain a little bit of speed if it was following the Earth. But eventually, at around 701 BC, it evened out. So that's why we use 360-day years. That is obviously conjecture, but if you use 360-day years like the Bible says, you come up with a number of 173,880 days. from the time that Artaxerxes declared that Jerusalem should be rebuilt to the time the Messiah would be presented to Jerusalem as a king. Mm-hmm. And that is exactly the day that Christ rode in on a donkey, being worshipped as the Messiah and the king in the triumphal entry.
Oh, interesting. That's one of several prophecies that came true when Christ, you know, made his appearance there in Jerusalem, right? Like, from what I understand, I know very little about the Bible and the prophecies, but I know in Orthodoxy they talk a lot about there's several prophecies foretold in, like, the Old Testament, right? And that sounds like kind of in that same ballpark.
Yeah, actually, I mean, you could say hundreds, but this one's really cool because it happens to the day. Gabriel's margin for error was exactly zero. Hmm. And actually, Jesus held the Israelites accountable for knowing Bible prophecy. And he actually, when he was entering the city, the Bible says he wept because he knew that they weren't going to accept him as the Messiah. But so anyway, how do we know? I mean, you could say, Wally, that is some really cute conjecture that you think Mars was on resonant orbits with Earth. But what is the evidence for that? This is where it gets really cool. Let's get into some 1700s satire from an Irishman about the politics that was going on in London. There's this guy. His name is Jonathan Swift. And he published a bunch of satirical books called Gulliver's Travels. And 151 years before we knew that Mars had two moons, he wrote it in his satirical, and he wrote it in his satire because he received it and he just wanted to be a little cheeky and use some history that was like passed down from generations to generations. So if Mars and Earth were closer together, it would make sense that he got to pull from some word of mouth stories that two moons exist. 151 years after Gulliver's Travels was published, we figured out that Mars had two moons. Oh, and that's wow. In his book. And the really cool thing is we've discovered moons before that 151 years, but the moons of Mars have a reflectivity rate of about 3%. So even with the best technology at the time, there was no way. But if you think that Mars could have been closer to Earth at one time, it kind of starts to, you know, fit into place.
Interesting. Yeah, you hear about that kind of stuff often with, like, you're talking about the Dogon tribe with the Sirius stars and like people looking up to the skies and knowing more about stuff, and then later they prove it through astronomy kind of stuff. So that's interesting.
Yeah, so that's why we have martial arts, the god of war. And there is this thing in the Bible, it's the long day of Joshua, and God causes the sun to not move in the sky. Makes it a long day so that Joshua could win this war. And there's evidence that a lot of people counted on Mars to be in the sky so that they could fight a war and win it. And it was actually a way for them to have an advantage in an attack.
All right. That sounds interesting. So there's a lot of Mars worship ideas going on here. Maybe not Mars worship, but like the Roman Empire, they certainly worshipped a form of, you know, pagan god of Mars.
Yeah, I think all those stories have some truth to them.
That's interesting. All right. So what do you take? What's your take on how this applies into modern day, you know, biblical philosophy, prophecy, end times? You got any good takes on where this could fit with us trying to go back to Mars?
Actually, going back to Mars?
Well, going to Mars, excuse me.
yeah, well, I mean, sure, that could happen. However, those 69 weeks that were foretold that the Messiah would happen, there is an interval between the 69 weeks and the 70th week. And we are in the interval right now between the 69th and 70th week.
Oh, based on like how you were saying a week, you multiply it by 7 years or whatever is what you're talking about?
Yeah, so there is some sort of an interval. And the 70th week, it's for God to deal with Israel and bring them the truth once more. And no one wants to be around for the 70th week, because that would be when we get into the book of Revelation. And I would argue that's coming soon. So if you read the book of Revelation, it gets pretty intense. And I would argue that the time is at hand. We are getting really close to it. And yeah, you have to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if Gabriel was accurate on the first 69 weeks to the day when Christ rode into Jerusalem, then we should probably believe him about the 70th one too. And I'd like to not be here for that one. And I'm counting on Jesus to come harpazo or rapture us before that happens.
Interesting. Well, there you go. All right. Yeah, there's something, there's always something in the world of conspiracy that to me goes into some kind of spirituality or apocalyptic sort of future. And I don't doubt it, man. I don't doubt that there's some serious turning points for humanity as a species with, when you look at like the transhumanism movement and all that stuff. So, yeah, very, very powerful ideas here, Wally.
Yeah. So if anyone wants to research this a little bit more, actually this, it's all gets, we can thank Sir Robert Anderson. He was the head of Scotland Yard. He was knighted. He wrote a book called The Coming Prince, and he did a lot of the groundwork to go figure all this stuff out. And it's you can get it anywhere you want online. So it's a really good read if anyone wants to try to dig in a little bit more.
All right. Sounds good. Any other links you want me to share with the audience?
As always, just the ABCs of Salvation by my guy, JD Frog. It's the most important thing. That's why I'm here.
Okay. I will post a link to that.
You're the man.
I will type up the notes for the Coming Prince book. Is there also a video with that Dr. Chuck Missler with the Daniel 9 teaching?
Oh, yeah. Anyone could search Daniel 9 Chuck Missler. And okay. You'll find it. He's
okay. Cool.
That one's easy.
I'll post a link to that too. All right. Anything else?
No, sir. Just thank you so much. And hey, you know what, Isaac? Stay woke.
All right, Wally. Thanks, brother. You too. There you go. Wally always coming through with the heat. I'll put a link in the show notes, the book, The Coming Prince, and then I'll put a link to the ABCs of Salvation by J.D. Farad. The same link I posted prior, but you know, I'll make it easy for you. And yeah, if you want to be a tier 4 conspiracy considerations, you want your own segment, you want to get up on stage, drop your thoughts, your conspiracies, your ideas, you know where to go. Links in the show notes, patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher, or go to IlluminatiWatcher.com and hit the VIP section and unlock tier 4. Tier 4 also gets you all the stuff from tier 3, tier 2, and tier 1. What does tier 3 get you? Well, you get a signed copy of my alien book. What does tier 2 get you? Well, you get the monthly shout out. You get access to the live streams we do every month. And you always get like the discount code. You get 10% off all the stuff on the Gumroad store. You really can't lose. So check it out. Those are the support systems. And you could be on the show. Thank you. All right, listen up. It's that time of the month. You know what time it is. It is time to do the shout-outs. I do, you know, this podcast has had many journeys, some ups and downs over my 10, 11-year career here in the Illuminati watching field, getting kicked off of everything, censored. And this is these supporters are important to the show. This is what keeps the lights on, right? You already know the deal. I got 3 supporter platforms you can choose from. I got Rockfin, I got Patreon, and I got the VIP section. And on the Patreon and VIP section, I've got tiers. Tier 2, 3, and 4, and they all get a shout out. And this is when we do it. And without further ado, let's get into the Patreon tier 2, 3, and 4. Let's go. Lieutenant Jerkoff reports as ordered. My goodness. Ed, Brandon, Holly, Todd, Samuel, Antonio, Genevieve, J. St. Murda, Beck, Jessica, Marisa, Aubrey, Vari, Jiggy Mama, Stephanie, James, the Jamsy, Amy, Eddie, Taryn, Tyler, Kirby, Liz, Rusty, Premier 65, Christy, Vermont Hip Hop Collective, Charles, Daniel, Zach, Russell, Ramona, Tanya, Marcia, Jacob, Allen, Sam I Am, Phil Goodrich Art, Brooke, Suze W, Sorcha, Betty, Thomas, Mariah, Frankie, Roxy, Brian, Ashton. Wow, a lot of these people have been on here for a minute. Thank you. People that stay sustained on the tier 2 and higher, I appreciate you. Thank you. I appreciate all of you. Tier 1s, no tiers, free feeders, I don't care. Appreciate you listening. Where were we here? I don't want to miss anybody. Heather, Allie, Renee, Cece, Spryute, who's going to be pulling security for me when I'm doing the lecture in Salt Lake City, FanX, September 17th or 18th. I don't know yet. They haven't given me a date. I'm going to need security, though. I'm going to get beat up, and these nerds are going to hate what I have to say about them, because you already know what I think about them. Joe Nips. I still owe you a conversation, Joe Nips. I'll hit you on the email. Let's see who else we got here. Brandon Lord. I don't say all the last names unless you... If you want me to say your last name, or if I mispronounce your name, hit me on the messenger. I'll correct it. Brian. Yak. Mgib. Ailmac. Tony. Prophet 7, Jade, Pragmatic Chick, William, Alexandria, JT, Katie, Dave, still holding it down. Dave, one of the true OGs since day one. Sarah, Brandon, Barry, Crystal, Taylor Blake. Oh, we're getting into tier 3 territory, everybody. These are the Alkaline OG Granola Wokesters. Free signed copies of books. I'll hit you guys up on a messenger. Kara. Now we got the tier 4, the coveted conspiracy considerations. And these folks, they can come on the show if they want to. Not everybody wants to. That's fine. But hey, I'll give you the mic. And some of them I'm in communication with. Some of them I've got one in the can. John, Wally, Joshua, Cheryl, and Big Fezique holding it down. Stays holding it down. That's the Patreon supporters. Let's move over to the VIP section quickly. We'll start with tier 2. We got Leslie, Cosmic Blues, Winston, Papa Dom, Matthew, Allen. I got two names here. Chris and Hunter, Timothy, Trina, Crystal, Marisa, Joe, Blake, and J-Po. J-Po, one of the legendary OGs since day one. Then we go into tier 3 territory. Cheryl, we got double dippers all over the place. Thank you. You guys are too kind. I don't know how to express my appreciation and gratitude more than to tell you. So Cheryl, Jason, James, the Jamsy, Brandon, Darren. And then we got a tier 4, our first tier 4 conspiracy considerations holding it down over in the VIP section. That's John. And I'll hit you. I should have... When someone signs up for tier 4, I shoot an email as quick as I possibly can. And some people don't respond, and that's okay. But yeah, the offer, of course, obviously, on the table. You wanna come get on the show, you let me know, we'll make it happen. So that's it. That's all the supporters on the tier 2, 3, and 4 that get the shout-out for the month. Thank you for your support. All the listeners, thank you, I'm sure. All the free feeders, say thank you for making this show happen. So I appreciate you. And if you want to be on that coveted list, there's only two places you can do that. Because Rockfin's a great system, right? In fact, I would argue against my own better business judgment. Rockfin's probably the best bang for your buck, honestly. Because you get all kinds of stuff. But, you can't get the shoutouts. That's only on patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher or IlluminatiWatcher.com. Hit the VIP section. Links are in the show notes, as always. Check them all out, see which one you like, and go sign up. And you'll get the shout out in September if you get it done. All right, thanks for your support, everybody. Appreciate you. Oh, also, I got a live stream scheduled. I always forget to tell you guys. And this is, again, for the same tier 2, 3, and 4. We're doing a live stream, Ask Me Anything, August 19th from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can ask me anything. Start dropping the comments on the post I created for it. Or shoot them to me in a message. Or just hit me when we're on the show. We'll go live and we'll make it happen. We'll talk about what we're eating for dinner. I don't know. The challenge on MTV. We're going to talk about that maybe. I don't know. Whatever you want to talk about. I don't care. Talk about conspiracies. So, yeah, that's the live stream. And tier threes and fours, I will get in touch with you on all the stuff you get. So, thanks for your support, everybody. Stay woke. All right, so Brittany's in the bathtub. Lil Uzi Vert's worshiping satanic bees. What about Post Malone? Oh, no, not Post Malone, who also lives in Utah, by the way. He has a new video called Motley Crue. And I'll be honest, the first time I heard this song, I thought it was stupid. I didn't like his little voice he does. I was like, this is dumb. But I like it now. I like Post Malone. And I've never seen Illuminate confirmed from Post Malone, but now I see it. And I don't know. Does that mean he's Illuminate confirmed? Not yet. Jury's still out in my opinion. But let's talk about the video. And then we're going to talk about the lyrics. In the video, you see him walking around with a race jersey on that has the number 77. Now, to be fair, I looked this up to see if there was some importance he had with the number 77. And someone on Reddit, which, hey, I don't know, claims that he has the tattoo 77 on his body. I haven't confirmed that. Homeboy's got a lot of tattoos, so maybe. And it supposedly refers to the number of weeks his album spent at the top of the charts, which beat, I believe, Michael Jackson was who it beat. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to make some allegations. And I would argue that it's curious that the number 77 was important to Aleister Crowley. He had a book called Liber Oz, or Liber 77. And this was a very short book. I mean, it's barely a book, right? And it's just like a handful of sayings. It's like a page, right? You can easily find it online. This is where you get every man and every woman is a star, which was very foretelling of the advent of social media. There is no God but man. But most importantly, you see some Church of Satan dogma in here. It says man has the right to kill those who would thwart these rights. We also have the slaves shall serve, which is the ideology, the idea behind the elites that they're just like, look, these people are stupid. They're the slaves. They're the sheep. They deserve what they get. Now the lyrics. So yeah, Post Malone's wearing a 77 on there. That's what it made me think of. I didn't see anything else in the video that would suggest he's into Thelema or following Crowley or nothing like that. But who knows, right? Who knows? But then the lyrics. One part of the song, he says, I'm at the top of the pyramid. And I would argue he's saying that. He's saying, like, he's so great, right? Is he provoking conspiracy theorists to talk about him? I feel like Post Malone's on our side, to be honest, and maybe that's my, I don't know, a lie in my own head, a story I want to tell myself. Maybe he's just provoking. But then the very next line tells me otherwise. It tells me he's actually very well aware of these occult principles, because he says, here's what he says. He says, I'm at the top of the pyramid. Bitch, I'm a star. I'm Sirius. Sirius spelled S-I-R-I-U-S. Because the very next line he says, we came to play, it's Sirius. Spelled S-E-R-I-O-U-S. So there you go. Sirius. He's mentioning it. Why does that matter, Isaac? Who cares? Yeah, Sirius. You've heard of it. Well, in the terms of occultism, this is a very important subject. Dare I argue the most important cosmological body that exists. It's the Blazing Star of Freemasonry. They call it the sun behind the sun, the hidden power, the hidden god, the source of occult power. Kenneth Grant, a guy who was, the successor to Aleister Crowley, some say, he said this was the source of the Thelemic current, the energies, the rituals from Sirius. And Thelema, of course, influenced Jack Parsons. It was Aleister Crowley's religion that came to him from a disembodied entity that he said was Lucifer. So there you go again. You got Lucifer giving the knowledge, and these people that are into this stuff say, yes, very powerful you are. Now I become powerful. Crowley started a magical organization called the Silver Star. And the Silver Star is a reference to Sirius. Kenneth Grant claimed that Awas, the guy who dictated the Book of the Law to Crowley, which became the foundations for Thelema, he said this disembodied entity came from, you guessed it, Sirius. And he said this will unlock, the Thelemic current will unlock the Typhonian mysteries. What does that mean? Well, when he said it, he meant that this would release entities from another dimension. And what's our whole world trying to do right now? UFO disclosure. Let's bring them aliens in. Is it all connected? Are we all about to die at the hands of the alien, bloodthirsty alien demons? Maybe. Albert Pike, the 33rd degree Freemason. Helena Blavatsky, the one who created Theosophy and ushered in the revelation of the method. They said that Sirius was the source of all Luciferian wisdom. So you tell me, does Post Malone know this? Is that why he said it? Is that why he wore the number 77 in the video? And I'll put that image on the Instagram. At Isaac Weishaupt, like and subscribe. I put all kinds of cool photos on there of all your favorite celebrities doing naughty things. And I'm going to put that one on there too. Moving on, Young Dolph, another rapper. He's got an album called Paper Route Illuminati. And the artwork on the cover shows a triangle around the eye. This is very 2014-ish. You go back to like the days of Jay-Z and Rihanna doing the Illuminati symbols on the MTV. On the MTV. How old am I? On the YouTube. They're on that YouTube MTV channel. And that's what Young Dolph did. Triangle around the eye and his eyes all red with the fiery demons. And again, you could say, well, Isaac, that's just a shtick. He's just shticking to make you talk about it, you dummy. To push records. Maybe. But there's 23 tracks on there. And 23 is very important in the occult circles. Because it comes from the Discordian idea of the law of fives. Everything happens in fives. You know, 2 and 3. Number 23, the Jim Carrey movie. Because 2 plus 3 equals 5, right? But anyways, there's 23 tracks. There's some new artists signed to his label, Paper Route Empire. I don't know. I don't really FW with Young Dolph much. But apparently it shot up the charts with no promo. Academics wrote this on his Instagram. Independent compilation tape that was dropped with no promo is number 3 in the charts. It's called Paper Route Illuminati. Dolph putting on all his new artists on there. Fire or doo-doo. And if you look at Young Dolph's caption, he says, there are 3 rules for being in the Paper Route Illuminati. Rule number 1, get the money first. Rule number 2, don't forget to get the money. How do you get that money? You can't make money without making sacrifices. So there you go. He's into the sacrifice stuff, right? That's what we talked about in my second book, Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic. It's all about hip-hop and the Faustian bargain and making the blood sacrifice, all that stuff. Which again ties us into Whitney Houston with the bathtub. Which reminds me, in August, I will be releasing only to supporters on my three support systems, my defense of my hip hop conspiracy book on Sirius XM's All Out show with Rude Jude back in like 2016, I think it was 2015, maybe. And you're going to hear the whole thing. You'll hear my thoughts on it. It was a little bit embarrassing, you know, listening to it again so many years later, I thought, wow, I sound like a pompous dick. And I think it was because I was getting lit up. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Talk about ruffling feathers. I was ruffling all the feathers. And I think all them people that were calling in to dog on me, I bet they got a real change of heart since then. Locked up in their little home.
No, there's no such thing as a conspiracy. You guys are crazy.
Sitting there with your little mask on inside your little home. Oh, man. I tell you, I'm feeling froggy today. I don't know what's going on. My T levels must be high. Let's keep it moving. Oh, real quick. The Occult World of Sabrina. That's a new comic book. A spinoff from the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina that was on Netflix. Which I wrote a chapter about that. Well, I'm plugging all my books today. I'm not plugging them. I'm just telling you where you can find more information if you want them. Okay? I have a book, Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture, the book. Like all my books are on Amazon and Audible or gumroad.com/IsaacW. I'll give you a signed copy if you like that. I know you do. Links are in the show notes. But I have a whole chapter on the first season of The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, and I'm going on and on and on rambling about how this is occult stuff. And what do you know? Now you got a spinoff comic called The Occult World of Sabrina. It's revelation of the method, right? They're telling us about everything. Because this is the new spirituality is coming down fast for the new global New World Order. Next, Lil Nas X and Jack Harlow. They dropped a video called Industry. And in it, if you haven't seen it, because Lil Nas X was... He was all over the news. I covered I did like three shows on him back when he dropped. Oh dear. What was the video? You know what I'm talking about. It was him twerking on Satan. It wasn't Old Town Road. It was the Montero. That was it. Call Me By Your Name. And I did a show. I did Breaking Social Norms with Josie Weishaupt. Episode of that talking about him. Because the problem that had happened was he was selling kids' books, and then like 2 months later, he pivots and is like twerking on Satan and selling shoes with blood and pentagrams and 666s on them. That's where the real problem lied. A lot of people were like, yo, what are you doing, dude? No one cares if you're gay. Like, aren't we well past that? Like, that's not shocking to anyone anymore. No one cares. No one cares. It's totally fine. It's that you were drawing the kids in, and then you're like, you know what's cool, kids? Satan. Because no one's down with Satan. Except for Marilyn Manson and Lil Uzi Vert. But anyways, he got a new video called Industry Baby with rapper Jack Harlow. And it was infamous, again, controversial, because there's a scene where they're in prison. And, well, Lil Nas X is in prison, and he's naked in the shower with a bunch of naked dudes, and they're dancing around. And ironically, Jack Harlow said if Nas wanted him to go nude, he would have done the scene too. Now, the video, because in the video, you'll watch the video, and Jack Harlow is like kind of like messing around with a girl in the video to separate himself from the gay stuff, right? Jack Harlow said, miss me with that gay shit. But then they asked him about it, and then he was like, no, I would have done it. I would have. You just had to ask. Right. Okay. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what these people think. I just know in the rap, in the hip-hop culture, as you saw from the comments from DaBaby, there's a little bit of, homophobia going on. Dare I say that? A little bit. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I should retract my statement that no one cares that Lil Nas X is gay. The hip-hop community might. Maybe. I don't know. Not everyone's, like, woke to all this stuff yet. I'm okay with it. I don't care. You want to be gay? Be gay. You can be as gay as you want to be. Don't bother me none. Anyways. Jack Harlow said he would have done it. He would have done it. He just had to ask. Okay, buddy. You got it. You got it. Anyways, the video. Again, I'll put this image on the Instagram. The video, more importantly, Lil Nas is in prison and he gets a book. And on that book, on the cover, you see the word, I believe it's Montero. And then it has this guy in the lotus pose unleashing the Kundalini serpent, opening up the chakras and releasing the Kundalini energy. Now, I actually posted this already. And if you dig through my Instagram, you'll see it. And there's lots of debate in the comments on this one. Between it representing gay people and chakras and Satanism and, oh dear. So I'm going to clarify some of this stuff for you, okay? And again, you pick your path of where you want to take this. You have to understand that yoga, like that lotus pose and stuff, like these poses, yoga means to unite, to yoke, to attach. It means to attach to a higher entity. That's what the purpose of yoga is. It's not to get a good stretch. It's not to clear your mind necessarily. But originally, it was meant to make connection with the divine. And the roots go back to the left-hand path of Tantra, where the adherents to that were trying to reverse this serpent energy in the body that they call the Kundalini. And it was meant to activate all the chakras. Now, Helena Blavatsky, she studied with these mystics in Tibet and came to the realization that yoga is a force of nature and it was able to generate clairvoyancy and spiritual development. That's why a lot of these occultists were into yoga. That's why Crowley has a whole book on yoga poses. And she referred to Kundalini as the world's mother, which is very curious when you look at the origination myths of Saturn as the serpent and the mother mist creating the universe. Peter Lavenda, who's an author I always recommend to people, he has a book called The Dark Lord, and he details Kenneth Grant's belief in this mystical tantra and the idea of raising the fire snake, the Kundalini, right? Talks about raising the fire snake to the cranial vault into the third eye. And this is when this goddess Kundalini meets the god Shiva. It's the sacred marriage, the union with the divine, when the practitioner achieves non-duality. And I've talked about Lil Nas X in the past where I said, look, in some ways, this is an androgynous occult idea. Like the Baphomet is the male goat with the female breast. It's a balancing reconciliation of opposites. You know, and you know, some people, like, they gender bend because they don't feel a certain way, and that's cool. But other people that are into the occult, like we talk about the late Genesis P. Oldridge I was in communication with. Rest in peace, Genesis P. Oldridge. But Genesis P. Oldridge was merging a female and male into one body, because there was a lot of occult influence in Genesis's life. In The Secret of All Ages, they talk about the Kundalini serpent as well. Talking about the ancient mysteries of the serpent entwining a staff for the symbol of the physician, which, you know, you've seen that on the medical symbols, right? It's the staff of Hermes. Because the serpent was the symbol of wisdom. The Kundalini, unlocking the third eye. This the Kundalini and is the goddess meeting the god Shiva in the sacred marriage. It's all right there for you. And we can go on and on about the serpent. But that's the idea. And that's why I would argue Maybe we see that on this book. Maybe Lil Nas X doesn't know any of this stuff. Maybe his handlers are putting the symbolism in it because they're like, wink, wink, nudge, nudge to the other cultist. Maybe it's a slow play on the revelation of the method. Finally, last topic. More satanic shoes. This time by Converse. We just talked about Lil Nas X selling his blood shoes with the pentagrams and the 666. Well, now Converse is joining in. They've got this shoe called the Turbo Drick. Anyway, it's a Turbo Dick 70 by fashion icon Rick Owens, who's a guy Kanye West adores. That's what he said once. I don't know if he still does, but that's what he said. And there's an article on the National Catholic Register. I'm going to read to you from it because I thought it was very curious. Father Lambert said that while use... Oh, sorry, let me talk about the shoes. I guess you're like, what are you talking about? I posted it. I assume you knew what I was talking about. But Converse has a shoe with an inverted pentagram on it, made from like guys standing in a weird way. Okay? So basically they're selling shoes with pentagrams. The Turbo Dick 70. Okay. Father Lambert said that while use of such a symbol might simply be entertainment, it could foster a harmful introduction to the occult, which is what I'm saying. I'm saying they're trying to revelation of the method and get people down this path. That's why Lil Nas X sells kids' books and then the next day he's selling bloody satanic shoes. At first glance, one might think that a pentagram on a sneaker may seem to be nothing but harmless fun. We may think of it as nothing more than some form of entertainment, but the devil can use this interest in things associated with the occult as an entry point to enter a person's life. Father Lampert said that seeing the pentagram on the sneaker could lead to greater curiosity about the demonic world, which could cause the person's life to spiral downwards. Fascination with the evil one is not what should be fostered. Instead, society should be promoting that the human person is created in the image and likeness of God and has the innate desire for God. There you go. Couldn't have said it better myself. And curiously enough, I read a Vogue interview with Rick Owens, the guy who designed the shoe. And he grew up Catholic. I'm going to read you from what it says. And listen to that. That's how weird this dude is. Every now and then these days, Owen still lets himself go out dancing. He takes a midnight nap, gets dressed, has a coffee, and goes out sober towards 4 when everybody else is coasting toward the end of a wild night. It's a wonderful lucid experience, he says. Now that is what he seeks. Saturday nights used to be about excess and euphoria, but this last Saturday night I was alone in this empty white factory in the middle of nowhere in Concordia, finalizing this menswear collection, and I was thinking, what could possibly be more glamorous or euphoric than this? What a weirdo, right? He also was a rapper. He did a song called Mona Lisa with a rapper named Tommy Cash. And these were the lyrics he used. He says, black magic, F-boy teen. Obviously, he doesn't say F-boy. I got to keep it censored for the listeners. Black magic, F-boy teen, tired, got her clean. Be at the ready for quarantine. Guillotine flosses, enough of that. Necromantic savage, useless power, damage, wasted aesthetic emotion, supernatural distortion. Now let's recap that. That was a lot to take in, right? The song, and it's kind of like an EDM song. It's not really rapping. It's more like spoken word on Rick Owens' part. But he's saying black magic, F-boy teen, tired, got her clean. Now, obviously, he's talking about black magic, which is, you know, self-explanatory. F-boy teen, tired, got her clean? I don't even know what that means. What's he talking about, teenagers and stuff? It's the F-word and teenagers should never be in the same line. That's the golden rule. But listen to this. Be at the ready for quarantine. Should you know that this song was released in November 2018? At least that's what the YouTube video shows me. What does this guy know? Why did he know quarantine was coming? Is that a common term? I don't know. Maybe we're looking into it too hard. Then he says necromantic savage. You know, talking to the dead. Supernatural distortion. So yeah, this guy's into like all kinds of supernatural stuff. And then he comes with the pentagram shoes. What do you think? Illuminate confirmed Converse too, right? Well, the shoes are sold out, so it worked. So there you go. That's the roundup, the TMZ Illuminate roundup. All your favorite celebrities doing all the Illuminati things. Again, I'll put the images on the Instagram at Isaac Weishaupt. Be sure to follow. I do Instagram lives. You can ask me stuff there. We talked about several of the books. If you're new, you haven't read any of my books, go to IlluminatiWatcher.com. You can get 4 books for $5. If you want to get into the audiobooks, I'm on Audible, Amazon, of course. And if you want signed copies straight from my hands to your beautiful mailbox, gumroad.com/IsaacW. And yeah, that's about it, right? And of course, I'll have those images loaded up here soon. And listen to that Tinfoil Hat episode I did with Alex Kazemi. That was that's going to be eye-opening for you. It was a nice back and forth on the ups and downs of practicing magic and the occult. And I'd like to think I tried to do the best service I could for my fellow Christian warriors out there. All right, everybody, thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for your support. And until next time, stay woke.